My mother used to say, always keep your heart open. She also said, Jane, you're a horrible artist. Well, she was right on both counts. And that's the inspiration behind my stupid open hearts collection. Have a look. Kind of reminds you of a pair of upside-down boobs and a big fat bottom, doesn't it? Well, it's not. It's the universal symbol of hope and love. Won't you please keep your heart open? It's the only way you'll spend $39.99 to $1,200 for something I doodled on a napkin.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk stage, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
I was having trouble keeping my small business from failing, so I asked my economist about stimulus.
Stimulus is a remedy for all types of economic dysfunction, commonly known as ED. Stimulus will pump life into the economy by increasing the flow of capital and raising economic activity.
I'm impressed with my new spending package, and demand has never been higher, thanks to stimulus.
Stimulus is not for everyone. Side effects include hyperinflation, wasteful spending, and trillion-dollar deficits. Stop using stimulus if you experience socialism, too much government control over the means of production.
If the economy is in a depression, will you be? You won't. With stimulus.
Stimulus from Obama Laboratories.
A company's sexual harassment policy targets one employee. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. A memo was sent out today to employees of Lancelot Industries informing them of changes in the company's sexual harassment policy. The policy reportedly targets only assistant sales rep Kevin Schulte. Many of Schulte's tactics are now expressly forbidden in the new document, including asking female employees their bra size and taking their pictures with a camera phone without asking. Human Resources Manager Wendy Cho.
Ever since Kevin Schulte started working here, the sexual harassment policy went from one page to 11 pages.
For his part, Schulte says he's never harassed anyone in his life, and if anyone says he did, it was likely Melissa on the third floor, who he says totally needs to get laid. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Overly Competitive Softball Player.
Mr. Overly Player.
Some folks play softball for exercise. For others, it's a fun way to enjoy a beautiful day with friends and coworkers. But not you. No way. You play the game for keeps.
10 hours in the batting cage.
Yes, Mr. Overly Competitive Softball Player. You are truly the Ty Cobb of the Division D Co-Ed Citywide Insurance Underwriters League.
Slide in with your spikes up.
You even quit your church-sponsored team.
'Cause God only loves winners, yeah.
So the next time you're on Field 1 and hear a guy on Field 16 screaming at Joan from Human Resources for not hitting the cutoff man, you are hearing the rantings of Mr. Overly Competitive Softball Player, a real American hero.
Mr. Overly Competitive Softball Player.
Nice polyester coaching shorts and knee socks, loser.
Now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, February 11th, Susie.
It's almost Valentine's Day.
It is, and we've got an exciting show today. We're going to talk about money and relationships.
Your relationship with money.
What's your relationship with money like?
I don't have it, but I like to spend it.
Yeah, so you do have one.
Yes, yes.
You look at it as easy come, easy go, pretty much.
I need more of it.
Yeah. And we're going to have a porn star, for lack of a better word, or adult film stars, like they like to be called. I can't talk this morning.
I've noticed. But
yeah, did you see that?
I really have
a frog.
You snorted.
And I snorted too. A lot of people do snore on the air, I noticed.
Snore?
That. Snort. You see?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I did get up a little like off balance this morning. I don't know what it is.
I woke up like an hour early this morning. I just jolted out of bed and I was like, what the hell's going on? And really? I didn't get home until like 2 in the morning anyway.
Right.
So I really should not have woken up an hour early.
Yeah.
But
so we're going to have, her name is Cinnamon Love.
Ooh.
And yeah. So well, she sounds pretty exciting.
I don't know if we should tell the guests that, or our listeners that we're going to have a porn star because, you know, we get all this hyped up and then all of a sudden they stand us up.
I know. I know. What is this with this breed of people, man? They just can't make it, you know, and well, not even let you know they're not going to make it, you know.
Well, I think of porn stars as kind of like night people.
Well, whatever, you
or
know.
Maybe it's just because I watch porn at night. I don't know.
Maybe their value set is not the same as ours, you know.
I actually haven't watched porn in a long time.
I know. I haven't either.
It's really weird. I've started just using my imagination and really just kind of focusing.
Yeah.
On
I think orgasms are better that way when you focus on your body rather than
actually.
What you're
I don't
saying.
Even focus on my body. I focus on whatever I'm imagining.
Right. Well, that's what I mean.
I think I'm kind of like a guy in that way.
Yeah.
Like I'm very visual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like men have to like have porn and like see it to be stimulated and blah 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 blah.
So you like that too?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like the pictures of penis? An erect penis?
Does I just that like do seeing someone getting slammed against the wall and just...
I see. So it's more the act rather than looking at body parts. So
yes.
You're still not quite like a man.
I like the in and out and the in and out. I don't know. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Just give us a body part to fixate on and that's it. That's all we need.
Hmm. Interesting.
Know? Yeah.
Very interesting.
So I think she's known for her ass, you know? Supposedly she has a good ass.
So does we'll that mean see. She takes it in the ass?
I don't know, but maybe she does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In fact, actually, when I researched this yesterday, I think there was one. There was an anal sex one.
I actually, I masturbated this morning to being fucked in the ass, and I don't even like being fucked in the ass.
Wow, Susie. And who was fucking you in the ass, might we ask?
I'm not telling.
Okay.
My true love.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yes, no, I'm serious.
Is that what you do usually when you masturbate? You think about people you know and that you love and stuff?
I could only masturbate to people that I know.
You see, there you go. That, so you are a woman.
Why?
You know, because men can fantasize about anybody.
Well, I could fantasize about like a guy I see on the street, like some super hot guy, and then just like maybe meeting him or just like, I don't know, being like, you, come with me.
Yeah.
And just like having him like bang me in an alley somewhere. Like, I don't know, I can get into some kind of fantasy like that.
Really? So you build like a whole story?
I definitely have a whole story.
Really?
I mean, it's actually like a porn is playing in my head.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
But without all the stupid shit, like, I really can't stand like when you turn on a porn and like they've got the person coming into like the doctor's office and she's like, oh, the doctor will be right with you. Why don't you take off your pants and bend over? You know what I mean? Like they do the whole, they set up the whole scene and it's like.
Do they still do that way?
Yes.
In movies?
And I'm like, you know what? Get over it. I fast forward as quickly as I can. Or if I'm watching it on cable or something and I've ordered like one of the naughty channels, you know, if you're stuck watching a scene and you only paid for an hour and you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, I want to be able to fast forward and get to the good
that's
shit.
Why it's, yeah, that's why you should get what they call gonzo.
Internet porn.
Okay, gonzo.
Gonzo.
Yeah, and that means no story, no nothing. You know, you just get the act.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, is that the name of the porn?
No, that's just the category, let's say, you know. But there's
gonzo,
no story. It's just straight facts.
G-O-N-Z-O?
G-O-N-Z-O, yeah.
Gonzo.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, so it's like more like amateurish and, you know, whatever.
We should be expecting a phone call in a couple of minutes.
Well, it's coming in right now.
Oh, pick it up.
Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie. And who is this?
This is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Do we know Tom?
Susie.
Yes, we do know Tom. Tom is the guy I went on the date with. Was that 2 days ago? Yeah, 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
My Mormon friend.
Oh, and you're the Mormon friend.
Yes, I'm the Mormon friend.
Yeah. Tom, you're going to have to talk a little louder, you know? I mean, I know we have to pull the words out of you, but, you know.
He's probably in the bathroom at his office because he probably doesn't feel comfortable talking about this in public.
I got a conference. I reserved a conference room for this.
Shut up. You did not. Okay, so yesterday I was telling Sam and all of our listeners around the world that I went out with a Mormon person, which everyone finds absolutely hysterical just because everything in your, well, not your belief system, but the Mormon belief system is completely, you know, the opposite of me and my evil ways.
Yeah, she's the Antichrist of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you really think that, Tom?
No, I don't. I'm really impressed by your character, Susie. It's amazing to me.
Aw, thank you. Well, I'm impressed.
You're like the complete opposite of me, though. Like, you do things without thinking.
Yeah.
I overthink everything that I do.
Is that appealing to you about a woman?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. I guess you kind of look for the opposite, you know, to sort of like, Susie would totally, like, bring you out of your shell completely.
Yeah.
You know? Not that you are in a shell, I'm just saying, you know. Susie is a loose cannon, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I never would have called a radio show.
Yeah.
I'm never calling a radio show.
Yeah. But for Susie, you'll do anything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Tom, so yesterday, Sam brought up the question of the magic underwear, and I completely forgot that we had ever discussed this. What are the magic underwear? What is this about?
Yes, explain that to us.
Okay.
Now, is that for men and women?
It's for men and women, and it's the special underwear is underwear that you wear after you go through the temple, and it's... I don't wear it. I've never been through the temple, but... As far it's you have to be virtuous and pure and all this to wear it, and there's like special symbols on it, like crosses and stuff on the nipples and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Wait, on the nipples of the underwear?
Of the bra?
Yeah, and like the belly button and stuff. There's all these weird symbols. I don't really know all that much about it because I never went through the temple, but my parents wear them, and I've...
Wait,
I've
they wear them, like, every day?
Huh?
They wear them every day?
Yeah, they wear them all the time.
All the time.
And you hear stories about people, like, you know about Mormon missionaries and everything, but you hear stories about these Mormon missionaries who got shot or something, and they claimed that their underwear protected them, or they got burned, and they were burned everywhere except where their underwear was covering them and stuff like that.
Whoa, those do sound like magic undies. I got to get me some.
Yeah, you need some undies when you do wear them.
When I do wear them.
But they're like full-length boxer briefs, like down to the knees for the guys, and then there's like a undershirt also that you wear, and it's like an undershirt that you wear under your bra if you're a woman.
Wow.
You wear it under your bra?
Like, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's probably have to touch the body, that's why.
Okay, so yeah. I've got another question. So say I'm wearing these magic underwear, and say I'm wearing a bra on top of it, whatever, and say we're, like, hooking up. Like, once you get the bra off, like, is that it? Do we keep the rest of the magic underwear on?
No, it's underwear, Susie. You take it off.
Well, I guess if I were wearing the underwear, I would have to be virtuous. Therefore, I wouldn't probably be hooking up with someone.
Yeah, I've never hooked up with anyone that's wearing the underwear.
Really?
I don't know.
How old are you, Tom?
26.
Wow, you're still young.
He's my age. That's why I called him a kid.
Age.
We're kids.
Yeah, you are kids.
Yeah.
So, Tom, are you still on jury duty?
No, I'm at work.
Oh, okay. He was on a murder trial for jury duty.
Mm-hmm.
A really crazy murder trial. I'm so jealous. I've wanted jury duty my whole freaking life, Sam.
Really?
And he gets the good one.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Why does it always happen to the virtuous people?
They're probably better judges of character. Who knows?
Hey, Tom said I've got great character.
All right, Tom.
So
you know about the you understand now about the underwear, Susan?
Yes.
That's amazing. Now, what else do you get? As Mormons and stuff, there's some other customs that we're not really accustomed to, right? Like, what are some of the things that you do? Do you consider yourself religious?
I think Mormons are Mormon for life, like you're born into it.
It's like being
Jew.
A Jew.
But,
she had to stick that in.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't go to church anymore or anything, but... Well, Mormons have all kinds of weird stuff. Like, they aren't allowed to drink hot drinks and alcohol or smoke tobacco.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you guys probably in the long run would not really get along that much. I mean, you're so different, you know?
No, I got him to drink a margarita and a bottle of wine with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Listen to how happy she is about it. How proud she is of herself.
Well, just this morning, he sent me a text being like, can we go drink another bottle of wine? I was like, no, fuck the bottle. We're going to get a box.
There you go. You see, you're hooked now. You're a freaking alcoholic. You hang out with her, man. That's what happens. Yeah, you better be careful. Just take my advice.
Okay.
All right.
Don't listen to him, Tom. I put all my cards on the table from day one.
All right, Tom. Thanks for the great information, man. That's fascinating about the magic underwear. I've heard of it, but I never really knew what it was.
Can we tell him one more thing, Tom, about how you were, like, your great grandfather and how you were, your line of family?
Yeah, my great great grandfather was like one of the original Mormons that crossed the plains to Utah.
Really?
And he had several wives, and my great great grandmother was actually his final wife, and she was after polygamy was already illegal.
Right.
And she was like the sister of one of the previous wives or something. So we're like the black sheep side of this of the line. But
were you like a product of rape?
Yeah, statutory rape.
Wow.
Do you know how old she was?
She was under 18. I think she was maybe 15 or 16 or something.
Whoa, that's crazy. God,
what do you think about that, Tom?
Well, it's just weird. I'm glad to be alive, but...
Yeah, but it is weird. Yeah.
Just interesting.
So you wouldn't support polygamy?
No. No. I'm not a polygamist.
Yeah.
I think you should be. I think that would be spectacular.
Yeah, I would love it too, but it is about the men, you know?
No, it's about the money. You've got to have a lot of money.
I don't know. I think their families support them too,
No, Tom, don't they have to have a lot of money?
Yeah, they do. Like, there are still polygamists in Utah, and you see their big mansions up on the hills, and they look like hotels, but they're just
like harems and shit. Wow.
Yeah.
How sweet would that be if I had one of those mansions with like five husbands just at my beck and call?
Yeah. But it's actually the reverse, Susie. You would be one of a few.
Well, you know what? I'm opposed to that. That's sexist.
Yeah, well.
And I want to have multiple
that's
husbands.
That's religion for you.
Oh, my
All
goodness.
Right, Tom. Listen, we're going to let you go back to work. Thanks so much for calling.
Right.
And I know you don't do that often, but you did it for Susie, and we appreciate it, man.
I'll give you a call later. Maybe we'll go get some wine.
All right.
There you go.
Bye. Yeah.
In the middle of the day, you're going to get him wine.
Why not? All right, have a good
day. You
got
to ease him into it.
I am. We're going to start in the afternoon and ease into the evening.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, have a good day, Tom.
He's gone.
Oh, bye. You already hung up on him.
I didn't. We said goodbye.
Oh. Well, oh, shoot. Sorry.
So how'd you guys meet now? On a bike ride, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I met him on a bike ride. And I was apparently just wasted. And he's really, really cute. And so he was standing across the way, and he was just kind of looking at me. And I was like, why does he keep looking at me? You know, because I was just sitting there minding my own business while we were at a liquor stop. And then I guess I don't really remember actually meeting him, but I do remember at the end of the evening sitting in front of a fire pit and just telling him some crazy Susie stories.
Yeah.
And he was thinking like, okay, either she's a really good storyteller or she's a big liar.
Yeah. A whack job.
Oh, and oh my, so you know Evan who was here the other day.
Yes.
So he was telling me I should get a tattoo in this other arm that says Rancateur or Rancateur.
What's that?
It means storyteller in French.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think that would be pretty cool. And so I almost went and got that tattoo the other day.
Really?
This freaking close. And Tom sent me a text message this morning being like, oh my God, because he's taking French.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, oh my God. He's like, I'm really glad you didn't go and get that tattoo because Rancateur or Rancateur is like a male version.
Oh, really?
I should be Rancateur or Rancateur. Could you fucking imagine if I went and got a tattoo and I had like the incorrect
spelling,
like pronoun on it? That would suck.
That's funny.
No, that would really suck.
Yeah, it would.
It's like people that get like the Japanese tattoos like on their neck or something, and they're like, it means power or strength or wisdom. And I'm like, no, it means dishwasher. Like whoever fucking tattooed you, you know, is probably like laughing all the way to the bank with your check. I'm telling you, people get these stupid like Japanese tattoos, and I'm like, huh?
I know. It's like, what's the point behind that?
It says purple monkey dishwasher.
Yeah. I know. You know which ones I like when they put on the back of their neck the barcode.
Ooh,
you know, isn't that cool? Have you seen that?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I think I've only seen it like in movies.
No, I've seen it before.
Really?
Yeah.
The coolest tattoo I ever saw, aside from the two that I have, is a chain ring. When you ride a bicycle sometimes, and you ride it a lot, like the chain will sometimes hit your calf.
Right.
And it will leave like an imprint of the chain and the chain ring on the back of your calf.
Oh, really?
So I saw this really hardcore biker, and I thought it was just like the grease from the chain.
Uh-huh.
But I looked closer, and it was actually a tattoo. He had tattooed the chain ring onto his calf.
Really?
Yep. I thought that was really cute.
Oh, wow. The shit that people do, man.
I would love to get covered in tattoos.
I would never. It just, I don't know, it kind of cheapens a person, in my mind, you know. I mean, I know a lot of people and you know, that are okay with it or like it, you know, and I know in today's world it's more mainstream and shit, you know. But I don't know, personally, I don't know.
I don't know. I agree with you to a certain extent. Like, there are some people that get tattoos way too early, and they just get it just for the hell of getting a tattoo because they're like, oh, I turned 18, my parents can't control me. And then, like, 10 years later, they're like, why the fuck did I get this stupid tattoo?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell does the dragon that's covering my back mean? And they're like, really? But I don't know. And it depends on the person. Some people, you know, they just look cheap and sleazy with tattoos.
Yeah.
Other people, like, they make their bodies like a canvas, and they actually just use it in that sense.
I know, but I think it's overdoing it, Susie, you know, with the sleeves and the whole body and stuff. I mean, it's eccentric, you know? It's not...
It is eccentric.
You know?
But my frog tattoo on my back,
uh-huh.
I've wanted that since I was a very little girl.
Wow.
Very, very little girl. When I was 14, my girlfriend Anna and I actually went and got fake IDs made. And because I think Australian red-eyed tree frogs are just the most beautiful creatures in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went and had fake IDs made. And it was a day that we were off from like our Catholic school or whatever. And so we put on like black, like hooker or fuck me boots,
mm-hmm.
you know, like really like slutty little skirts and like tight shirts with my padded bra and everything,
mm-hmm.
and red lipstick to try and make ourselves look older. We actually looked ridiculous looking back on it.
Yeah.
But then my sister had overheard me on the phone, like talking about it. And so she called my dad and told my dad that I was going to get a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad called and was like, Susie, right before our 16-year-old boyfriends were coming to pick us up, he's like, I heard a rumor that you were getting a tattoo. And I just wanted to say, if you ever got a tattoo, you'd be grounded for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And he's like, have a good day. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So we went and got our belly buttons pierced instead.
Yeah. My daughter did that too, and nobody asked me either. But, you know, about the tattoos, what I don't understand is why would you put it in a place where you can't see it and admire it? You know, I mean, you put it in a hidden place that only a few people are going to see. You know, well, maybe during the summer, you know, you're in a bathing suit and stuff, people will see it. But for the most part, I mean, it's still behind you. You know, it's like you can't enjoy it.
Well, so is my ass, and I still enjoy that.
Yeah, but that's, you know, because you feel something through your ass.
Well, I know it's there. I mean, I feel, I don't know, it's just a part of me now, and I feel that it's there. But with my gypsy tattoo, like, I have that in a place where I could see it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like to see it, and I like people to see it and notice it, and they're like, what does that say?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it says gypsy. Beware the gypsy.
Yeah. So where's our gypsy going from here? What have you decided you're going to do?
Well, they finally got my transcripts, and the funds have been transferred over, so today I begin the visa process.
Yeah, and how long does that take?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I think if you pay enough money for anything, like, you can get it expedited.
Yeah. And, of course, your relationship with money is...
I like to spend it.
Easy come, easy go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, I worked like 14 hours last night with my kids.
Really?
Oh.
That's a long time,
Susan. That's a long time. Like, you really feel like the pressures of like being a mom. Like, because you know what I mean? I was a little bit tired from the night before and like from getting up early for the radio show. And then just going straight there. And then one kid goes down for a nap. The other one wakes up. And they're both awake at the same time. Then they both want food. Then the dogs are running all over the house barking. And the cat's like
under my foot. Wow, I'm tired already.
While I'm cooking shit in the kitchen. And I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, And I'm like, I'm stressed out. And I just want to have a drink and a cigarette. But you can't smoke around the kids. So it's just like, oh, my God. But yeah, it's good training for motherhood, I think.
I suppose, yeah.
Yes. Definitely.
You're into it now.
I am into it, but I think I'm into giving the kids back at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, exactly. You see? It's like being the grandparents. You know, you enjoy the kids, but you give them back.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to deal with anything.
Maybe I'll go straight to being like a grandmother. I don't know. Is that possible?
Maybe.
Yeah.
If you adopt someone.
I don't know.
Adopt an 18-year-old. And then you'll
actually
be a grandmother.
Actually, shoot, that reminds me. I have an 18-year-old goddaughter that I adopted over Christmas. I should probably send her a card or something.
Really?
Yeah.
And who is that?
It's my cousin Rachel. She's my new cousin. My uncle, my mother's brother was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually cute. My grandmother, I guess, couldn't have any more kids after my mom.
Right.
And so my grandpa, being a doctor and everything, was in Germany at the time. And so my grandmother is cooking dinner, and, you know, my grandpa comes home from work and sits down at the table, and he's like, "Hi, honey, what'd you do today?" "I adopted a boy." "What?
Really?
You went to the orphanage and adopted a boy? A German boy?" And she's like, "Yes."
She didn't ask him or anything?
Nope, she just went and adopted a boy.
Wow.
And so, basically, my two little cousins, now my Uncle Tom's little girls, Sarah and Alex, my cousins, they had a girl in their school that needed foster care at the age of, like, 17. So they took her in as a foster child, and then they decided to adopt her once she turned 18.
Oh.
And I got to meet her over Christmas, which was really great. And I was like, "You don't have a godmother."
Yeah.
I was like, "Pick me." It's like, "You're going to get sweet presents for the rest of your life." So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, but don't be any role model to her, you know?
Excuse me.
No.
Actually, that specifically reminds me, my Uncle Tom over Christmas was like, "Suze, it's really good you're spending time with your little cousins, but I don't want them, you know, maybe you could start telling them some other stories instead of all the party and crazy shit that you do and how you just can do anything you want whenever you want with, like, all these safety nets in place." He's like, "You need to tell them that life is not like that for most people."
Yeah.
"That you're some kind of, like, magical creature where shit just, like, happens and that they actually need to work and go to school and, like, put their nose to the grindstone."
Yeah. You should have, like, a disclaimer on your shirt, you know? When people meet you and stuff.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, like, "You're not responsible for the results of what
happens." The repercussions.
Exactly, you know?
Oh, Sam, that's great. I actually might go and have that t-shirt made today. That's a really good idea.
Disclaimer, yeah.
Yes, yes.
It all in fine print, you know? So people can actually...
They're going to have to get up really close.
Really close and start reading.
And it'll be, like, right on the ass of the shirt, like, all the way at the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's true, on your ass.
Yes, great idea.
Yeah. Then you can stick out your ass.
I need to work on it. I need to make it a little bit bigger.
Why?
Well, it's very, very strong. I've got a very, very strong ass.
Uh-huh.
Actually, when I was bartending back in the day in New York, guys would, like, take turns grabbing me by the ass and, like, doing, like, push-ups.
Push-ups.
Kind of, like, in the air with me just by holding on to my ass. I made a lot of money that way. You'd be surprised. But I don't know, from cycling and from ballet and all those years of just using my ass.
Yeah.
Yes. And it all comes back to the ass.
So why do you want it bigger now?
Not bigger, but just I need to work on strengthening my ass muscles. I feel like I've been sitting on it a lot lately.
Yeah. Don't we all?
No, that's a real...
No, but you're pretty active. I mean, shit, you know, you've taken trips and shit. You were all over the place.
True. Yeah. But, I don't know, you just spend a lot of time, like, sitting on a plane or in an airport or in a cab, and you just feel like, I don't know, even when you're, like, going and hiking and doing stuff, you still just, I always want to do more.
Yeah.
I want more, Sam.
What is it? What is it with you?
I don't know.
You're running away from something.
No, I'm running to everything.
No, that's true. I mean, you're enjoying life to the fullest, you know?
I am.
It's amazing. A lot of people would love to have that kind of life, you know?
Yes.
But they can't.
I am
so
bewitched.
Enjoy, yeah. I mean, enjoy yourself, you know? Still carefree. You don't have really roots anywhere, you know? So you just, like...
Can I give you one of my plants when I go?
Of course, yeah. We could use plants
in here. Do you promise
here?
You'll take good care of it?
Of course.
My retarded kids made the pot for me.
Yeah?
Yes, and they planted it, and they told me to keep it with me always, but I can't bring it to Australia.
All right. Bring it here.
Okay.
What else do you want to get rid of that we could use?
Let me see.
Not that bed of yours.
Ooh. No, do you want my bed?
No. No.
Yeah, it's not really so stable. I don't really recommend the bed. I think I might burn it and use it for firewood. Fuck. I don't know. I'm going to have to start going through my shit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Then go through your shit.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it.
We got to call our author, Susie.
Well, let's call our author,
Sam. Okay, what's the book? Why are people calling me on my cell phone? It's really irritating me sometimes.
Everything irritates you.
Really?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't.
No, you've gotten better lately.
Yeah.
But anyway, the book, it's called Your Money or Your Life, 9 Steps to Transforming Your Relationship with Money and Achieving Financial Independence. I could use this book.
I think we could all use it just about now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Your Money or Your Life. Vicki Robin.
Hello.
Yes, Vicki Robin.
This is she.
Good morning. This is Sam and Susie calling you from L.A. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Wonderful. Welcome
good.
To the show.
You sound like you're in some exciting place where there's people around.
No, there's just me, but I'll tell you, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. There you go.
I enjoy myself tremendously. The older I get, the more I realize.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And where are we calling you? What part of the country are you?
I'm on Whidbey Island. It's in Puget Sound near Seattle, Washington.
Ooh,
wow,
nice.
Beautiful area there. You sure know how to pick them then.
I do, actually. Yeah. I tell you, this is a fabulous community.
Really? Is this where you lived most of your life, or did you just move there?
No, I moved here 4 years ago. I lived in Seattle for a long time, and I lived in many western states, and I grew up on Long Island.
Long Island.
Long
oh,
Island.
My God.
Wow.
Can
Long
I get some
Island.
Coffee?
Yeah, really. Right.
So you managed to figure out money and how people relate to money. And I think every, you know, sometimes I don't even think about it, but when you come to think of it, I do have a certain relationship with money, you know.
Absolutely.
I think some people are afraid of it. Some people don't know what to do with it. You know, some people take it for granted. Tell us a little bit about the book. What is it about?
Your Money or Your Life presents a step-by-step program that was developed by my co-author Joe Dominguez in the 1960s when he realized that, looked around the world and he said, rich or poor, people aren't that happy, so money cannot be the biggest determinant in life about happiness. And he set about trying to figure out what is money and how can I have enough money so that I can have more free time to pursue other values, to be with family and friends, to spend time in nature, to learn and grow and explore the world, to serve, to make a difference in the world. And he realized that those are actually the characteristics that happy people have. And so there's got to be something where you can have enough material wealth and then devote yourself to these other forms of happiness.
Okay.
So he figured this out step by step. It's not like a big investing program. It's not rocket science. It's all very clear stuff that actually, you know, our grandparents knew. But we put it together in such a way that anybody can use these steps or these tools and apply them to the flow of money and stuff in their own lives and have big awakenings about, you know, where the waste is, you know. And it's really not, you know, making people wrong about, oh, bad person, you wasted money. It's a recognition that actually the money in our wallets gets there through the application of our time to our work. And so when you realize that every dollar you spend represents a certain portion of your precious life that is not infinite, then you start to become very smart about where you're going to invest the hours of your life. So
right.
That translation
wow.
between the money in your wallet and the life you invest is very important. I mean, people could see like an SUV and think, you know what, I want that. And they finance it, and instead of it costing $20,000, it actually ends up costing $20,000 for the car and $40,000 for the financing.
Hey.
And once you start to put that into perspective and you say $60,000, you know, after I finish paying this thing off, how many years of my life will I have to work so that I can have this new hunk of metal to go back and forth to the job that I have to have in order to pay for it?
Yeah.
Like, a job that you probably hate.
Yeah, right. A job you hate, and I guarantee you that once it gets in the parking lot and you go into the work, it's just, you know, one hunk of steel among many.
Exactly, and it's just another car, you know. And
it's just another car.
Yeah, it might take you even a couple months, but eventually you just get used to it and you're stuck with a bill.
And then you want a new one.
Yes.
You know, and then you have a new one. I mean, most people, if you pay the minimum balance in your credit card, you really will pay three times the amount for the item.
Right.
You know, and,
if you ever pay it off, yes.
If you ever pay it off. And most people pay off those credit cards and they have no recollection of the pleasure they had at that moment of that little thrill you get at the moment of purchase.
That's
that
true.
Lasts about as long as it takes to, for you to get out to the trunk of your car.
You are so right. You are such a wise woman.
Yes. Well, that's why she wrote the book, and not to you, Susie.
Well, it's wisdom, but it's like everyday wisdom. It's practical. You know, it's just really mundane wisdom that we all can develop. And so we ask these questions, start to have a life that's integrated. And
people I know develop relationships with money. Does that happen early in life?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, it's really our relationship with money is our relationship with survival, really, and resources, having enough for us to survive. And we're born into a family, you know, it's like your mother and father do not have the same money story. Your father's money story was that there was always plenty around and he always had everything he wanted. And your mother's money story might be that her parents were incredibly stingy with money. And so she has this feeling of there's never enough.
Right.
And so you're born into a situation where mom and dad have different money stories, largely unconscious. Often they fight about it, you know, like, how could you spend all that money? Well, like, why won't you let me have this thing, you know? And so,
right.
So you grow up in an environment where the sources of nourishment, the people who you rely on for your own survival, are in conflict about money. They have different stories, and you start to put together a story in your own mind. Money is good. Money is evil. There's never enough. There's always plenty. Money will buy me happiness. Money is in the way of happiness.
Right.
And so it's bringing these money stories and these money myths into consciousness that really helps you get a handle on the daily transactions with money. And it's not only our personal relationship, but there's also a cultural environment. We live in a culture that values material things and measures progress. Money is the way we keep score, some people say.
We
all have our particular insanity. But once you can recognize it, then when you're out to buy, you know, your 15th, you know, gorgeous black sweater, you realize, well, wait a second. What am I really trying to accomplish by this purchase?
Right.
Am I trying to impress my mom, my dad, my boss? Am I trying to prove to, you know, the kids in my sixth grade when they were mean to me that I'm a good person? Who am I doing this for?
Right.
And so you can ask those questions and have a big laugh rather than, you know, be defiant and say, well, I don't care. I'm going to buy the sweater because I want it.
Yeah.
And so it puts you in a better financial position. And I can tell you now that I'm now up in my 60s, you know, to have had this kind of relationship with money for most of my adult life, we're going through tough financial times, but I am not.
Right.
I am relaxed. There's nothing different in my money life.
So you
now
sort of
than there was a year ago.
So you were like prepared for this? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. You know, I have savings in the bank, easily, you know, what we recommend to people is that you have savings in liquid assets that you can, you know, like a money market fund or a savings account,
right,
equal to 6 months of expenses. So,
yes,
you know, a time like this where things are in turmoil, maybe you've lost your job, this is not a tragedy. This is an opportunity.
That's actually funny. It's actually funny that we have you on as an author right now, because I'm extremely reckless when it comes to finances and my money. But yesterday I was really kind of starting to worry about like my financial situation because I have a big move coming up. And so I actually went online with my bank and I had a financial assessment done of me. And they actually said, it came back and said I needed to save, you know, exactly 6 months worth of my living expenses.
Yeah.
Well, no, this is, as I say, this book is not rocket science. Most of what we have in the book is, at a practical level, is what your, you know, online assessment would tell you. But what we put it together with is your values and your happiness and your fulfillment and your life purpose and your dreams. And when you start to see that if you get your daily transactions more in alignment with your who you really are, that's when that sense of peace and satisfaction and mastery will come. And then you know you're not clutched when you're going to go through a big move. You go like, okay, fine, I've got the money for it and here it is. And when you get to tax time, you have all your records. It creates a relaxation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's amazing that you were able to do that and sort of like foresee where there'd be difficult times and you'd be prepared for it. I'm sure most people are not. And
but you know what? It's like we always go through, you know, the economy goes up and down. We've lived through a very unusual time in history when the economic downturns have been controlled more or less, but but they're, you know, expansion and contraction is the law of nature.
Right.
And so you just sort of learn that. And so, you know, it's, this is a first generation who in fat times did not save, in fat times actually spent more and went into debt.
Right.
Most human beings understand that in fat times you save for lean times.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Like, it's normal. We're right. Abnormal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when there's good times, I just go and spend money like there's no tomorrow, you know? And I think I need to do something about that.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
We'll definitely pick up your money or your life. Vicki Robin, thank you so much.
I have one more question.
Yes.
What was your major at Brown?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it has nothing to do with this. I was a Spanish major because I love languages, and I lived in Spain for a year, my junior year. And then my senior year, I devoted myself to theater. And so fundamentally, I'm a communicator. I'm a person who loves language. And I teamed up with my co-author, Joe Dominguez, who's the money guy.
Uh-huh.
And together we...
You translated.
Yeah, I translated the money stuff. I was a translator into language that fits for normal everyday people, because I am not Joe. I am not, you know, I wasn't born an engineer. I wasn't born to track money.
Yeah.
But I learned to do it from him, and I learned the pleasure of it. And so, and I was able to talk to people who were as dubious as I had been originally.
Wow.
And help them to understand.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Cool.
Well, awesome. Vicki Robin, the book is Your Money or Your Life. Do you have a website also, or should we just pick up the book?
Thank you very much.
Sure.
YourMoneyOrYourLife.info, I-N-F-O, is the official website for the book. And it's where I'm blogging, and you can write in and ask for more information. We're starting study guide groups around the country. So we're building up a capacity to serve people when they want to use the steps in the program In Your Money, Your Life.
Very nice.
You sound like such an enlightened person. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And
I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, you're very fun, that's for sure. And and I'm sure we can find this anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
you can find it anywhere in bookstores. It's selling right now really well, so, I mean, it should be available everywhere. And you know what? You can go onto Amazon, and there's plenty of used ones. But what happened is this book first came out in 1992.
Right.
I just updated and revised it for the 21st century. So even the used ones, you actually may want to invest in a new one, because it's got a lot more really good stuff in it.
Yeah.
Great.
And you definitely practice what you preach. So, you know, I mean, the book has been around for a while, and you're comfortable financially, so I think you're qualified to give some advice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And she was on Oprah.
She was on Oprah, too.
Twice. Well, I was on Oprah twice. I must be legitimate, because I was on Oprah. And
I've been
in, you know, all the magazines everywhere, from People to the Wall Street Journal. So
this has been
well accepted across the board by people who just want to transform their relationship with money.
Wonderful. Well, we're humbled. Thank you so much, Vicki, and all the best to you.
Thank you so much.
You're
welcome.
Bye. So, wow, she lives in a great place, Susie.
Yes.
I would love to live there.
I know, right?
Have you been there?
Yes.
To the Puget Sound?
Yes. Gorgeous.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, it's up by Vancouver, too.
Yeah.
My other favorite place.
Yeah, I know.
I have a lot of favorite places.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I know.
You've been around, you know.
Ooh, maybe I should go visit my friends in Vancouver before I leave.
Yeah, might as well visit everybody before you leave.
Shoot, not enough time. It's time to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, little sluggers. Big-time leaguers love taking performance-enhancing drugs, PEDS. And now, you can too with your very own PEDS dispenser.
Yay!
PEDS dispensers are available in all your favorite players, like Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco, and the all-new Alex Rodriguez.
Yay!
Just bend back their enormous heads and pop a delicious PED into your mouth.
Yay!
And coming soon, we'll leak the names of 103 more PED dispensers. Collect them all. So pop some PEDs, and unlike A-Rod, you won't be sorry.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
You know how hard it is to earn fucking 6 months worth of expenses, and not to earn, to save? Okay, you're trying to distract me with a banana.
I can deep throat a banana.
Have you ever used one to masturbate with?
A banana?
Yeah.
No, you pervert.
If you didn't have a vibrator around, this chick's using vegetables.
A banana doesn't vibrate.
No, it doesn't vibrate, but you can insert it.
I don't actually like inserting anything inside myself.
Yeah.
It's not a penis.
Yeah. So you just like to keep it on the outside, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
In the clitoral area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you get vaginal orgasms? I mean, do you get... Can you orgasm without stimulation to the clitoris?
I don't think so.
No.
Or I haven't yet.
I think most women can't, but, you know, I keep reading in different places that some women can.
I know. Some women definitely can.
Yeah.
Actually, Janique just told me probably like 3 months ago that she had her first vaginal orgasm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's interesting.
I know.
So maybe you need a special sized dick for that.
Or, I don't know. I mean, I really think sex is so different, like, every time. Even with the same person, it can be so different every time.
Yeah, that's true.
It all just depends on everything that's going on in your head and in your mind and, like, what's going on in your daily life. I mean, everything impacts what's going on.
Right.
When you're having sex. I mean, you like to just kind of, like, tune it all out, but, I mean, your subconscious is always constantly going.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know. I don't think I'm ever, like, truly, truly, truly relaxed or comfortable enough with a person to ever let that happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I actually...
Even someone you've been with for a long time?
I actually don't even have orgasms with men.
Really?
Yeah.
Never?
Nope. Well,
oh,
once.
Oh, what a revelation.
Once, Todd, my ex-boyfriend, he gave me an orgasm, the only man to ever give me an orgasm so far, with his hand.
What about oral?
Nope.
No?
Nope. I like oral for about 5-10 minutes.
Then you better not settle down yet, Susie.
Well, I like it for like 5-10 minutes,
because
and
that's
then
the
I just
best
want the
fucking orgasm for a woman, I'm sure. Because they seem to love it a lot.
Yeah.
Susie, if you never came from oral sex, you're not with the right people. You see, I didn't know that. You always blame it on me for being so square and shit.
Well, I've told him I wouldn't talk about these things.
No, don't. I mean, don't put people in situations, okay?
No, you know, Franz actually said it best, like, when he was here. He's like, you know what, like, I have had a lot of sex, but I have not had a lot of, like, very creative sex or, you know, I'm not very comfortable doing a lot of different things in bed just because I'm not comfortable enough with myself.
Oh.
To let a lot of these different things happen.
Yeah.
So.
Comfortable with yourself as far as physically or mentally?
Well, like, I don't know. Say a guy is lying on a bed and he wants me, we're doing 69.
Right.
I'm not very comfortable having a guy, like, stare at my ass.
Really?
I'm like, what does my ass look like right now? Like, you know?
Yeah. You're self-conscious.
Very self-conscious. But yeah. So. I finally actually started getting very comfortable with that when I was in Australia. Because, you know, I'm not going to say the person's name, but he was like, we all know who I'm talking about. But he was like, don't talk about our
sex
life on the radio.
Well, we don't, because you've been with three there.
True. Good point.
Yeah.
But the last, it was vacation sex until it was not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I finally just really started getting comfortable with it. And he's like, you've got a great ass. I really like looking at your ass. And I was like, really? Okay. Then look at my ass and we'll 69 for a while. But then still, even after doing that for like, I don't know, 20 minutes, then I was like, okay, enough of looking at my ass. You know, come back up here.
Yeah.
Put your face up here by mine. Look madly and deeply into my eyes.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
man.
That's quite a revelation, Susie.
I can't believe I haven't
revealed.
reveled in that before. I like bananas.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, let's all just be quiet and listen to you eat.
Okay.
How was that?
Nom, nom, nom.
I know, bananas are obscene looking, you know, because they're, they look phallic.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, hold on, just a moment.
That's very nice, Susie.
I'm sorry. I'm hypoglycemic. If I don't eat, and I didn't eat breakfast this morning, like, I'll just, like, fade and crash.
Really?
Yes. I have to eat all the time. Or at least have something in my mouth all the time.
Really?
Oh, shoot, I didn't bring my magic pills in with me. Darn it.
Magic pills?
Yes.
What are those?
Actually, it's kind of funny. I ran out of my Adderall.
Uh-huh.
And since I'm trying to, you know, save some money right now, it costs a lot of money for me to go to the doctor and get the prescription filled.
Mm.
So I actually bought my own prescription illegally the other day.
Really?
Yes. It was so shady. Like, this guy, he's actually like a Russian mobster. And I didn't really realize it because I couldn't remember if it was, because this one guy, there are two guys that have the same name in my bicycle gang.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't remember if it was the nice one or the kind of scary looking one. Mm-hmm. Not scary, but, you know, Russian mobster.
Right.
But so then he posted up on his Facebook status, you know, oh, I love Adderall and coffee. And I wrote back, I'm like, oh, I'm like, I need some Adderall, like, please. You know, I'm like, help a sister out. I'm too broke to buy it. And then he wrote back a message and he's like, here's my number. Maybe we could work something out.
Oh.
So does that sound like... What does that sound like to you?
Like an exchange.
An exchange.
Yes.
So stupid me. I'm
no
kind
free
of like,
lunch, Susie.
I'm kind of like, la, 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 la. I'm like, okay. So I give him a text message the other day. And I was like, all right, so like, where should I meet? And what time should I come and pick it up? And he's like, why don't we meet at like 8:30 at this place? And I'm like, okay. And then I ended up getting like delayed with my dinner with my with one of my exes. And so I was like, all right, now it's like 9:30, and then I'm supposed to go to a movie at 10. So I was like, I'm running out of time. And then he's like, oh, I wanted to meet and have drinks with you first. And then I was like, because I was seriously thinking, I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know what kind of, I don't know what I thought I was going to exchange for the drugs.
Yes.
But so, so then I tell my ex-boyfriend what happened or what he said, and he was like, Susie, you do not want to be alone with this person. He's like, you need someone like there to protect you.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of exchange? Do you know exactly what he wants?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Oh.
Oh, really? I was like, shit, man. Does that make me like a cheap whore?
That makes you very naive.
Does that mean like if I go to donate blood, I would have to push that I exchange or check the button or the box that says, you know, I exchanged my body for drugs? Like, does it? I think that does. Well, I didn't. That's the whole point of the story.
Right.
I had gotten paid that day, so I ended up just paying cash for the drugs.
Yeah.
But I also had my friend wait at the house with me for the guy. And he was seriously just like, he's like, oh, look at my Rolex, you know, and oh, this is my leather jacket, and oh, yeah, I got all these different drugs. What do you want?
Wow.
And he opens his jacket, and he's got like 500 pill bottles in there. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, I want one of those and one of these. Ooh, what color is that one? But seriously, like, I can't function without my Adderall when I have, like, this much shit going on and trying to get everything done.
Yeah. It calms you down a little bit?
Well, it doesn't calm me down. It actually kind of, like, cracks me out.
Yeah.
But it makes me, like, focused cracked out.
Right,
I become obsessed with my task at hand.
Mm.
Like, today, I think, you know, after our author, I think I'm going to go home and do my taxes.
Are you really?
Yeah. I can't believe my dad. You know what I mean? He's been doing my taxes for years.
Right.
And then there were, like, 2 years that went by, and I thought I would... You know, show my dad how responsible I was, and I had someone else do my taxes.
Yeah,
one of my boys. You know, that does shit for me. but so then I moved out to California, and I didn't have any more tax boys out here, and so I was like, oh my god. So on April like 13th or 14th, whatever that day was, it's like midnight, and I'm trying to get my taxes in, and I just gave up because I don't know. I sold all these stocks and stuff I had in companies, and like emptied out all of my accounts so I could move to California. And so I call my dad. I'm like, Dad, help. And he's like, nope, you didn't want my help. You thought you were too cool to have your dad do your taxes. So struggle and deal with it.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I like your dad.
Thanks.
Yeah, he puts you in your place.
Yes, he does.
He really does. But all you need is a software program.
Well, that's what he gave me for Christmas. He freaking gave me TurboTax.
TurboTax.
For
Well, there you go. He cares, you know?
No, he doesn't care.
But
he just didn't
really
want to
simple.
Be stuck doing them.
Use it. It's very simple. You can do it in an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
All my taxes?
Yeah. And I mean, your taxes are probably pretty simple, pretty straightforward, right?
I don't make any money.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all the money I make is off the books. So that's where I kind of feel like it's sketchy.
Yeah.
Like, what if I'm ever audited?
Money off the book? What book?
Off the books. Under the table.
Oh.
As in, I don't pay taxes on it.
Right. And you want the whole world to know about this?
Probably shit. I should probably learn to keep my mouth shut, huh? God damn it.
No, but listen, you take
sometimes
the program.
I just feel like I'm having a conversation with you and that no one else is listening.
Exactly. Except the whole fucking world is.
Shoot. Anyway.
No, but you get that program, I'm telling you, in 1 hour you'll be done. It's just an interview. It asks you questions. You just plug in the numbers and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have like all my W-2, well, not really, my
1099 is right. And that's what you need, you know? So you just file that, you fill in the information from that form.
Well, usually it gets confusing for me because I usually have like W-2s and things and 1099s coming from all these different states.
Right.
And so then I get really confused.
But it asks you all these things, you see? So it's very simple. It'll ask you, you know, do you have another W-2 form? Okay, what state is it from? W-2s, Yeah, yeah. I guess it would ask you what state you're from, blah, blah, blah. But it handles everything for you. And then it'll do the state as well.
Really?
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's really easy. You can do e-file. And if you have money coming back, you'll get it in like 2 weeks.
Well, because I'm a student, I always get the money back.
Yeah, well, good for you. The question is, did you pay in anything? You know, if you have a W-2, then yes, you paid in some, but not $10.99.
Mm.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so you may have to pay some, but but I don't think you made enough.
Then I'm not doing my taxes.
I don't think you made enough, though, to worry about it. You know?
I'm skipping town. I'm moving to Australia, not doing my taxes, David. Well, I'll do them, and I'll see if it'll tell me right away if I get money back, right?
Yes.
Well, then I'll,
it tells
if I,
you as you go.
Well, if I get money back, then I'll do them. If I don't get money back, I won't. What?
You need someone to help you with it. I'll help you with it.
Really?
Yeah.
So I can call you today if I have a question?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like my dad will, like, scream at
me.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to do the whole thing for you. You do it. If you have questions, ask me.
It's
simple.
Well, and I want to... I can't remember if I told you the story or not about my dad when he came to pick me up from basic training.
No.
Well, tell me if it's redundant, but I want okay. If it is, I want to tell it again. So right before I left for basic training...
Wait a minute. With the car that was full with, and he cleaned it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just told us that 3 days ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm like, it sounds vaguely familiar in my head, but I don't really remember.
Yeah.
But isn't that funny the way he does things? Like, he just waits and waits for the right moment, and then bam, for Christmas, I get that shit.
TurboTax. But there was some thought behind it, for crying out loud.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The thought was he didn't want to do my taxes anymore. Oh, I'm just kidding, Dad. I love you. Hopefully he's not listening.
No, but really, I mean, he's really patient with you, I think, you know?
He's very, very patient with me.
Yeah.
And he tries to give equal treatment to both me and my sister, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, our guest in the studio.
Our guest is here?
Yep.
Okay. So that means we're going to take a very short break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is George Takei, and I am truly excited to have Sam and Susie in the Morning on my internet radio. Those two are a hoot. I swear if I was heterosexual, I'd ask Susie out on a date. Of course, I'm homosexual, so I'll be asking Sam out instead. Oh my. And now let's get back to Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back with our guest in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
You made it on time. We're shocked.
Usually we have a lot of guests that, well, in your industry that are, you know, they're kind of late or they stand us up completely.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
So you go by Cinnamon Love, right?
I do.
And why is that?
Well, I don't know. Actually,
you don't give out your real
actually,
name, right?
I have, exactly. Yeah. I was given my name Cinnamon from the song Cinnamon Girl during my first scene, and I just kind of put my own little spin on it and changed it up. And Love comes from, actually, one of my ex-boyfriends gave me his last name when I was looking for a last name to add to my name.
Oh, really? And his last name is Love, really?
Yeah.
Really? He was born with that?
Yeah, he was
really?
Born with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that really
that's
is.
Cool. Susie Love.
Cinnamon Love, Susie Love.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love everyone.
I love everyone.
So you live out here in L.A.?
I do. Right? Valley girl.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow, so you grew up here and everything.
Well, no, I didn't grow up here. I actually grew up in Michigan.
Oh.
I've lived all over L.A., but now I live here in the Valley.
Cool. Well, that's where the cool people live, right?
Yeah.
not much happening in the Valley, though. But as far as your work, right?
Yeah, it's the center of Porn Valley. It's what we call it. I lived
Porn
in,
Valley.
Yeah. Yeah. I lived in downtown L.A. for 8 years. And,
really? What was that like? I mean, is it cool there?
It was different. I've lived in LA off and on since 93, or since 90 actually, and I had moved to New York for 3 years, and when I came back, downtown was the closest thing to being in the city, like to being in Manhattan.
Right.
And because, you know, LA is so spread out, and I wanted to still feel like I was in New York, in even though I was home in LA.
Yeah. So you love New York?
I love New York. But LA is home, you know, and LA is cool. Downtown is... It's definitely grown a lot. It's changed over the last several years. I mean, the whole regentrification process of downtown LA has really dramatically changed over the last
They have decided to work on it, but they still haven't done enough, you know. Well, our studio was downtown like a few months ago and stuff, and it was still a pain in the ass, you know, to get there and to park and all that stuff.
I mean, the thing about downtown is that you know, LA was really poorly planned as a city in general,
especially with transportation.
And usually in most major cities, you have, you know, your business district, you know, your downtown, your financial district.
Koreatown.
But then you also have, like, residences that, you know, support the other ancillary businesses in the area. And downtown never had that up until a few years ago.
Right.
So it's like the businesses close at 4 o'clock, everybody leaves, and then all of the restaurants, the stores, like everything else has to shut down as well. And that just, you know, having no people in downtown allowed the drugs and the homeless and, you know, the streetwalkers and everything to kind of take over. And the police just didn't care because there were no people to protect and serve. So it's like, so it just kind of ran overboard. And it's, you know, over since they started moving like lofts and luxury complexes into the building, into downtown, it's like everything's changed. Like now you have businesses that stay open later and you have nice restaurants.
So that's the thing. I mean, you know, when we were there, Susie, you remember, right?
Yep.
I mean,
no, I forgot.
Exactly. a couple months ago.
But I mean, the restaurants would close down at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, after people go home after lunch.
But now there's there's some nice restaurants now that stay open a little later, and then the hotels have really nice hot bars, and you know, everything has really changed. Even there's a bar called the Golden Gopher, which used to be just like a scum dive bar, and after they started bringing in all of these really nice luxury buildings and all the yuppies started moving in, all of a sudden it's like it's the hot hip new place to go. So
isn't it funny how like the I call them yippies for
yippies,
or yuppie hippies
exactly.
It's so funny the way like they have their beamer and they pretend they're all like whatever, and then they go to like the dive bars because they're like super cool.
Exactly Or they live in Silver Lake.
That's a good one.
Exactly.
But, you know, nothing. I mean, I have friends that live in Silver Lake.
Oh, me
beautiful.
Too.
It's beautiful. And I love that. I mean, unfortunately, like a lot of the real estate people are coming in. They're trying to, like, take over all of these old buildings and, you know, retrofitting them and charging more money to live there. And it's not Silver Lake anymore. It's becoming something else.
It's like Venice isn't really Venice anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. When I first moved to LA, I lived in Venice. So it's not the same, you know.
Definitely not. You've got all the yippies in there.
Yeah.
So you moved to LA. How many years ago did you say?
I moved to LA. I came here in high school for a year to live with my aunt and uncle, just kind of see if I liked it. And then I came back my senior year of high school, and I did my senior year at Santa Monica College.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. Okay.
And then I've been here since 90.
Oh, really? So you've been here for a while. 19 years. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. Now, so you were a student when you came here, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what did you do after that? I mean, you didn't get into porn right away. We're talking 19 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I was at Santa Monica College I did my senior year of high school as a college freshman. And then I transferred to US. Well, actually, I took a year off of school, and I kind of, this is going to be really funny. I've never told this story. Because no one's ever asked me what I did in between. I actually toured with the Dead for a while.
Oh, that's awesome.
I toured with the Dead for like a year.
Really? Grateful Dead.
I was one of those hippie chicks on Venice Beach doing hair wraps and like, you know, selling incense. And I did that for a year, and I went up and down the coast, you know, following all the reggae festivals and following the Dead.
The drum circles
at Venice Beach,
awesome.
At Santa Monica.
That's awesome.
And it was pretty funny.
So you didn't do drugs?
No, I was a good girl. But I did learn how to make really good brownies.
Excellent. We'll talk after the show.
Yes, exactly. But I did that for like a year, and then I started at USC, and then I got into the business shortly after that. So
wow. How do you go from USC to the business?
How do you go from Santa Monica College to USC?
Well, Santa Monica,
you know,
is,
I mean,
it's the
Santa
highest
Monica
transfer.
Is the highest transfer for community colleges in Southern California.
Really? To USC?
Yeah. To USC and UCLA.
Really?
It's one of the only community colleges where you can transfer to either a UC or you know, or to mm-hmm. one of the state colleges.
Right. But you still must have done very well in school to be accepted into USC.
Yeah, I did really well. I mean, I graduated from high school with 3.962 CUM, so
wow.
I was like top of my class, and you know, graduated when I was 16, and which is why I took a year off.
So what the hell are you doing fucking, you know? I mean, you should be a lawyer
fun.
Or something.
It's fun. Well, I got married really young. I got married when I was 17, and I had a couple of babies, and and when I got divorced by the time I was 19, I was getting divorced, and I was in college full time.
Wow.
And I was actually working at Fred Segal during.
I love Fred Segal.
Yeah, I worked at Fred Segal Shoes, and and I worked at Bloomingdale's. I actually helped open the Bloomingdale's in Atlassian at the Beverly
Hills. Beverly Hills, yeah.
And I worked at like Gap Kids and Beverly Hills, and I worked at Women's
Good discount
Sonoma.
For your kids.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was working two jobs. I was basically working two jobs, and I was carrying 13 units.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was taking the bus everywhere, and you know, I was pretty much spending like an hour in the morning getting the kids ready to go to the sitter, and then spending an hour with them in the afternoon picking them up after school before I went to my job,
right.
And you know, taking them to my neighbor to babysit while I went to work at night, and it was just so much work, and I was barely making ends meet, and for me it was like. You know, I had an aunt that lived here that was like, you know, oh, you should go and apply for welfare and they'll pay for school and blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, that is so not an option.
Yeah.
And I had a cushy little, you know, rent-controlled apartment in Santa Monica. And I was paying like $775 for a two-bedroom apartment in a five-unit building with 13-foot ceilings and hardwood floors.
Oh,
and I was
gorgeous.
Like, I am so not giving up my place to get on welfare. So, so I started looking for... jobs in the LA Weekly that would, you know, jobs I could take on the weekend to make a little extra cash. And I originally wanted to be like an artist model because I knew some other kids in colleges that would pose for
figure
artists
model,
and
figure modeling.
Yeah. And I started answering ads for figure modeling, which turned out to be for porn.
Oh.
And because that was kind of the code word in advertising back then.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that until I started calling, and I was just like, I'm not really interested in doing that. And I had like a fleeting thought of stripping. But I didn't really want to dance fully nude because I didn't know how to dance anyway, and I didn't want to dance fully nude. And I found out that if you were under 21, you could only dance in a nude bar, and if you were 21 and over, then you could dance in a topless bar because liquor.
Because there is liquor in the topless bar.
There's liquor in the topless bar, so you have to be 21.
Right.
And so if you're under 18, your only real option is a nude bar. And I wasn't really comfortable with doing that, with dancing in a room full of people fully naked.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it and I was just like, okay, whatever. And then I wound up, like, I kept calling these ads, and you know, I had directors that would, you know, offer me jobs doing porn, and I'd say no. And then finally I think I was like 2 months behind on my rent.
it's always the money.
And then I had this one director, Rodney Moore, who had I went and met with him, and then he started calling me. Like, I was like, I'm going to think about it, and he'd call me, and he'd offer me more and more and more money
really?
Every time he called me.
Nice.
And then finally I said yes, and it was kind of cool. I mean this is like 1993.
How much money are we talking, like, back in the day?
I think he offered me like $1,800 for my first scene, which, you know, these days is not that much money, but
back then
was a lot of money in 1993.
It still is now. I mean, he can pay a lot of fucking bills for you.
You can pay a lot of bills, your rent and all that. Yeah. But it was,
and that's for one scene.
For one scene.
Yeah.
And this
can
was,
I get his number?
Yeah. But it was, you know, I did my first scene for him. And for a movie called Black Casting Couch 2, which was for this little bitty company back then called Wicked Pictures.
Really?
Which is
they
now
were
like
tiny.
They're like one of the top three companies in the business.
Right.
And he shot me actually in two scenes in my first movie. And then he brought me back, and he had a mail order company at the time, because this is like, you know, pre-internet porn.
Right.
So he had a mail order company, and he would shoot me for custom videos for custom clients. And so he kind of kept me to himself for like my first 3 months in the business.
Really?
And then some of the guys that I would work with started introducing me to other directors and other companies. And then the next thing I knew, I just started snowballing because I was able to like quit a job. And then, you know, I my first I don't know, 2 or 3 years in the business, I worked a regular job and did porn at the same time.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Until people started, like, coming up to me at work. And they're like, oh, I'm such a big fan of yours. And,
you know, really?
Yeah. And it was weird because I didn't realize, like, I had never...
How many people watched porn?
Yeah.
Well, I'd never seen porn before. Like, the first movie I ever watched was my own.
Really?
And the first, like, the first porn magazine I ever saw, I was in it. So, it was like, I really didn't have any kind of exposure.
You really were a virgin.
I was totally like virginal to the whole sex industry.
Wow.
So we're talking like what, 16 years ago, 16 right?
16 years ago, yeah.
That's a long time. I mean, so you're not new or anything.
Not at all.
You should be a fucking multimillionaire by now.
I wish. I mean, I make a pretty good living, but it's, you know, I've done pretty good for myself. I mean, yeah. I have, you know, I've set aside, you know, enough money for college funds for my kids. They can choose to go to whatever university they choose to go to, and it's paid for 4 years, and I've set aside a family trust for my kids, you know, for when they turn 21.
Awesome. You see, so, she has a good relationship with money.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
You
now I have a question. Do your kids know?
Yes, they do.
How do they feel about it?
Well, I have three. I have a 16-year-old girl, a 15-year-old boy, and an 11-year-old girl, and the two oldest are... You know, because they're teenagers, they're the ones that people most want to know about because they're at that age.
Yeah.
But I think because I'm in the business, they're a little less interested in the business in terms of like my son's not really that interested in internet porn. Right. You know, he's not he's 15.
Okay.
Like he's into skateboards and video games and, you know, like
that's cool.
And RPG games and stuff like that. So he's a little, you know, he's not at all interested in it. And I think having me in the business, it's like, They're not over-sexualized, you know, because it's like they know what I do. They respect my decision. I treat it as it's a business. It's not – I don't bring my work home with me. I'm not, like, swinging from the chandeliers and, you know, like bringing random guys into my house in the middle of the night, you know.
I think you're my hero.
It's pretty – you know, and I have my fun. You know, I go out and I have my fun, and but our home life is relatively normal, so –
I do want to go back a few years, though.
Yeah.
Why did you have a baby at 17 in the first place?
Well, I got married.
Did you get married to have the baby, or did you get married because you had...
No, I got married, and then I got pregnant.
And then you got pregnant.
Yeah,
okay.
I got married first.
So why would you get married at 17? What was the appeal?
I thought it was the right thing to do.
Really?
I just thought it was the
right
thing
to do. Were you, like, on your own then and stuff?
Yeah, I was an emancipated minor. I was emancipated at 16 when I graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, I went to college, and just get a jump start on my life. So.
Right, but why would you have kids when you're still going to college?
It was just the right thing to do.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was married, and, you know, I got pregnant, and I was like...
You wanted to play house,
you know,
pretty much.
Well, and not so much play house, but it's, you know, I'm very pro-choice,
uh-huh.
But for me, abortion wasn't an option.
Right.
So
I'm with you on that.
You know, it's like I'm totally and completely 4 years later I have her. But, you know, it was the right thing to do at that time in my life. And I'm actually really glad that I did it. I mean, it gave me a certain focus.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I think for a lot of people, having kids changes what they, you know, changes their path and changes the decisions that they choose to make
it
in their life.
It totally grounds you, you know, completely. Obviously, you didn't do that for you because you decided to go and fuck after you had kids.
Well,
no,
I think that having kids when I got into the business changed the way that I approached the business.
Mm.
Because instead of spending all my money on Gucci bags and, you know, and cheap stripper clothes off of Hollywood Boulevard, I'd go and I actually spent, you know, use my money for, you know, for things that were important.
Right.
And the approach that I took my career in terms of, like, shooting for the right companies and, you know, treating it as a business as opposed to just, you know, blowing my money on buying some guy, a motorcycle and a guitar. It's like I actually use my, you know, I actually, like, took care of business and treat it as a business.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, I have a question. How do you as a woman keep yourself safe in this industry?
Well, we have to be tested every 28 days. We're not regulated by the government. The industry self-regulates. So we have to be tested every 28 days in order to be eligible for work for HIV, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. I personally also every three months I get a full STD panel to make sure that I'm okay. Even though it's not mandatory, I want to make sure that I'm okay. I've also been vaccinated for hepatitis, which is also not mandatory, but it's offered.
That's only Hep B though, right?
It's Hep B and C. Hep B, is it A and B? I can't remember if it's A and B or if
A
it's
and
B,
B
and C.
You can't get vaccinated for C.
So it's I think it's Hep A and B.
A and B, yeah.
So it's not mandatory, but it is offered. So it's one of those things. I decided that I would be vaccinated. I had a girlfriend in high school that contracted Hep C. And I watched her like really deteriorate. It's just something. It was really important for me to do that. And outside of that, I'm really careful of, I don't play with partners outside the business without a condom. Well, now I have a boyfriend and we've been together a year, so it's a little different. But,
people never use condoms like in these porns?
Very rarely. There are a couple of companies that do.
Would you want to watch a porn with a guy wearing a condom? But if you don't mind it, Susie, then I guess that's okay.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, personally, I wish that that the industry would make the move towards being condom only because testing doesn't prevent you from getting something. It only lets you know that within the last 30 days you didn't contract something.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, and a lot of people, and really your test is only as good as the day your blood was drawn. So it's like you go out and I'm actually going to get tested today. And then if I turn around and have sex tonight, then my test really isn't valid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, if I was to go out and have unprotected sex. So I wish the industry would make the move towards being condom, but it's never going to happen because the fans don't demand it. And if the fans demanded it, then it would happen. But because the fans, it's like out of 100 people that might watch a scene, you might get 10 people that complain if there's a condom in the scene.
Right.
But you're not going to hear from the other 90 people that didn't give a shit whether there was a condom in the scene or not.
Yeah.
So, but the people that complain are the people that the companies listen to.
Right.
So I think that if the fans, spoke up and said, I don't care if there's a condom in my porn, then the companies would start using more condoms.
Yeah.
But until then, we
I'm going to start voicing my opinion about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to bat for you.
Yeah, I think it's important. It's unfortunate, but you can only be as safe as you can be, and I think it's safer working within the industry where you are working with partners with a history of being tested on a consistent basis than it is to go and pick someone up in a nightclub that you have no idea what their STD history is.
Absolutely. Wow, that's an interesting point.
Yeah. So you weren't exposed to porn at all before you decided
Not
to go
all.
Into it, right? Now, how long did it take you between the time that you still said no way and the time that you decided, okay, I'm going to go with it?
Probably like 3 or 4 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so it took you a while.
It took me a while. Because I was making ends meet, but I was still struggling. So it wasn't it wasn't until it just got to the point where it was just impossible. Like, right. I just wasn't able to do it anymore.
Right.
That without some added income. And my grades were starting to suffer. And I didn't want to quit school. I wanted to be able to finish college. And I really wanted to be able to spend time with my kids.
Yeah.
Like, it was so important to me that I actually got an opportunity to raise them and not the sitter and not the daycare. And once I started doing porn, it allowed me to be able to work 4 or 5 days a month and go to school full time and actually raise my kids.
Yeah,
and
live comfortably
and not have to stress about whether,
Yeah, and what the hell, you're going to have sex. Now, have you always been into sex? I mean, have you
Very
liked
much
it?
So, yeah.
Very sexual
very
and stuff.
Very much so.
So for you, it was easy to sort of ease into it.
It was a very easy transition.
Really?
I was always a very sexual person. I was always like the type of kid, the type of teenager that had boyfriends. So for me, anything was possible within the confines of a relationship with someone. I was willing to try and experiment and be, with my boyfriends.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't really, I didn't really sleep around a lot, but I was open to the idea of experimentation. So
right.
having, having different, you know, experimenting with different partners, and like I had always been attracted to women, but I'd never like actually been with a woman before, and so the first time I was with a woman was on camera, and so it's like there were like a lot of little things that I wanted to experiment with that I was able to try out on camera, and it was fun.
Right.
So I have a question. So say you're about to do a scene with this guy, and you're really, really not attracted to him. And what if like you can't get wet because you're just like so not attracted? Do you just like squirt up with like some KY for
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, it's a lot easier for women when they're not sexually
because
attracted
you could just lube it up.
Because you can lube it up, but right. the guys have it hard because they actually have to like
to be
get hard.
Hard,
yes, you know, they have to actually get hard.
So there's no fluffers for women, right? We don't need that.
No.
Are there really fluffers for guys though?
Not really. Fluffers are kind of like an urban myth on porn sets. You only ever really see them on these really obnoxiously big gangbangs, where there's like hundreds of guys and they, you know, they're having sex with one girl. And then it's
you could
like,
never do that, huh?
No.
No.
That just sounds awful.
So much.
What's the most people you ever had at one time?
I'd say five.
Five?
Yeah.
So it was like an orgy kind of a scene?
No. I've done one, maybe two orgies in my career. Mm-hmm. I'm not really an orgy kind of girl.
No. You like one-on-one?
I like one-on-one. I did one gangbang where it was, which was many, many moons ago in the mid-90s. I shot a gangbang for a company called Rosebud for the late Alex Terenzi, who was one of the greatest porn directors of all time. And I shot one gangbang, and that was for him. And it was right. just five guys, which nowadays five guys is not even remotely considered to be a gangbang.
Right,
so
right.
I consider that a gangbang.
I consider it to be a gangbang, too. Like, anything more than that is too many people for me.
Yeah. Wait, so, like, you have just five guys, like, around you the whole time?
Pretty much. I mean,
they probably take turns or something,
like,
right?
It's more
or
like three guys. You know, you might have like one guy inside you and another guy in your mouth and another guy like
in your hand.
Or you know, or you might be doing a TP and then you're doing like giving someone head at the same time. But it's pretty much like three guys and then two guys are waiting.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Whoa.
So, but I that's the most guys I've actually had like intercourse with, and then. I did a
Susie,
scene.
Susie, does that turn you on? I mean, would you fantasize about something like that? Like five guys just paying complete attention to you?
No.
No?
That's like too many dicks. Once upon a time, like when I was 16, I think it was like the first time I had done ecstasy, my sister had these two guy friends and they were twins. And my sister was like, I can't fucking believe you just took ecstasy. Like, I'm leaving you here. And she left me at the club with her two guy friends. And so I'm like, you know, rolling my face off. And they take me back to their house. And it really freaked me out. Maybe it was because they were twins. But so they both kept coming up to me and like putting their dick in my face. And I was like really like sexually inexperienced. Experience at the time, and I'm like, oh my god! And then one would leave, and another one would come back in the other door, and the next thing you know, I had two twins with
hilarious.
Two penises in my face, and I'm like, ah! I'm like, oh my god! Like that was too much.
Yeah,
really.
See, now I did a scene last year for Manuel Ferreira for he's a director for Evil Angel, called Banging Black Boxes, and it was I was doing a six guy. Blow bang, which is basically me, like it's a blowjob gangbang, basically.
Right.
So I did like a six guy blow bang, and then I would have intercourse with Manuel. So it's like I would blow all these guys, and then I'd get to go fuck Manuel, I'd go blow all these guys, and then I'd get to go fuck Manuel. And
Did you have to make every one of these guys come?
Actually, they all did come, but they wound up like they basically like did what we call a jerk to pop, like where they would jerk off until they came.
Right.
Okay.
So, but
jerk
it was
to pop. I love these expressions.
But that was like that's the most guys I've actually had in a scene at one time, but I was only actually having like sex with Manuel, and Manuel is gorgeous. He's this gorgeous like Spanish Italian something with just he's got the hair and he's got the body and he's got this huge cock and it's just like he's gorgeous.
I think I just got wet.
And he has this technique for making any girl squirt, so it was an amazing scene.
Are you a squirter normally?
I am, but not like not like the porno squirting version of squirting. Like if I normally squirt, it's just like a dribble, unless someone's like manually manipulating my G-spot, and then I can like squirt. But it's not like I'm not like shooting across the room.
You're not gonna poke someone's eye out.
I'm not poking someone's eye out. But I can distance.
I don't know. When I've seen squirting in movies, I can always, if it's a close up, you can tell that they're peeing. It comes out of the pee hole.
Sometimes,
you know?
It does. So, sometimes it doesn't. It depends. Like there are certain girls that definitely can actually squirt. Like, I personally cannot get that kind of distance unless someone's manipulating my G-spot with their hand.
Right, okay. So tell us a little bit about that, because Susie and I can't seem to find the G-spots. with our respective partners, of course.
I mean, it's basically if you take your hand, like, palm up into the woman's pussy and, like, using your fingers, you can feel it. It's like a little knob. And you
That's what they say,
it.
You know? But I don't know. When I felt those things, it doesn't really give any special reaction. So
it's, you have to really kind of, you have to put a little bit of pressure on it and be careful of not using your nails, and it's difficult to, you know, to play
finesse.
With it, to finesse, but if you can
too much
you
work.
Play around with it, you can get it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty
cool.
Wait.
So Manuel can make me, really?
Hands down. There's two guys.
Do you have his number?
Is that with his hands?
With his hands, definitely. Okay. Mm-hmm. Him, and there's another guy named Mr. Pete that both of them, they have this hand technique down where they can just make a great girl squirt like crazy.
Whoa.
I've actually only done one squirting movie where all the girls in the movie squirt, because like I don't usually book myself for squirting videos because I can't squirt across the screen,
right.
But he booked me for this movie and called Sprung a Leak Number 4. And and
he's got the best fucking titles in
porn. He had me fucking squirting everywhere. I was just like, I was shooting everywhere, and it was like,
wow,
like,
did you freak out or something?
No, it was cool. Oh, I was like, yeah, fuck yeah.
I am getting into porn.
Yeah. Or just sleep around a little more, you know, stop settling
down.
No,
I want
so
Manuel.
Quickly. Yeah, exactly.
Daniel, if you're listening, I'm just kidding, baby.
Right.
Yeah, right.
But it's fun. I mean, I love that I can do stuff that I normally wouldn't do like in my personal life, like squirting. It's not something that I just do all the time.
Yeah, it's more for performance and stuff like that. Yeah,
exactly.
So I mean, it begs the question. Obviously, how many have you counted? How many scenes you've done in your life, or how many movies?
I've done approximately 200 scenes over the last 16 years, which really isn't a lot.
It's not a lot. So
it's
not a lot at all. Yeah. So you didn't do it all the time.
No, well, I did. I did it all the time, but I would, in the beginning, I was doing movies and I was going to school and I was working. And then
she said like 4 or 5 times a month.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 times a month. And even now I still shoot like maybe 4 or 5 times a month because it's just not important to me to produce a quantity of movies. I'd rather shoot for a handful of companies that I really like and respect, and I like their product lines. And there's companies I won't shoot for. And you know, I'm just a little,
why is
I'm
that really they don't treat you nicely or what?
Not so much that. It's with a lot of companies that I won't shoot for. It's just that I don't like the image that they present.
I see.
I don't like the. To me, porn doesn't have to be degrading. There can be some, you know, some people would argue that porn in itself is degrading to women, but there are certain companies that go out of their way to be very degrading. Right. And I don't do like movies or websites that have like a racist undertone to them.
Right.
There's this resurgence of black humor in porn where everything is like, you know, little sweet innocent white girls, big bad black guys, big giant cock.
Yeah.
You know, or on the other side, like the you know white guys with black girls. But it's like some of these companies are taking more of a racist approach to what they do, and I won't do it. It's just, it's not necessary. I don't think that it's sexy. I don't think that it's, you know, it doesn't turn me on.
Right.
And I can't imagine what kinds of people are watching that do get turned on by that stuff. So it's not an image that I want to promote. And there's some companies, like there's a director that I'm really cool with. I really like him. He shoots a lot for a lot of different companies. And he shoots for this website where it's black girls kind of getting back at their cheating black boyfriends by blowing a bunch of white guys, and they do these. They do this. It's like an interracial gangbang, and which in itself is not an issue, except that the company owners want all the guys wearing Confederate flag T-shirts.
Really?
So it's like, and for me, it's just like, not so much.
Yeah.
You know? That's intense.
Yeah, and I had a guy, I had a director that wanted me to shoot a scene. It was like a redneck confessions type thing, and they wanted me to shoot this. It was like the guy is like a redneck, and he's like in his flannel shirt and his torn jeans and his cowboy hat, and you know, and he. They wanted him, you know, he's never been with a black girl before, supposedly, and they wanted me to, like, take a bite of watermelon in the scene.
No.
And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Are you kidding me?
No, really, seriously. And the shocking thing about it was it was a black director, which, like, really kind of, which was really shocking to me that he would, that knowing the historical significance of, like, Step and Fetch It, and that he would want me to do something like that.
I just got chills. That's pretty intense.
It's really intense. And
I mean, what's that about? It's just sex, for crying out loud. You know, I mean, to make it so complicated.
We're getting back to the scenes and to everything.
Yeah, but it's, you know, for everyone, you know, people are turned on. You know, there's a psychological reason why people are turned on by what they're turned on by. Mm. You know, whether it's, you know, the guy that, you know, wants the cheerleader that he never had in high school, and that's why he watches, you know, all the cheerleader movies or the Barely Legal, the girl schoolgirl outfits and stuff.
Right.
Or if it's, you know, guys, you know, younger guys watching MILF movies, you know, with, you know,
mommy issues,
you know, or just the, you know, the attraction to, you know, older, more experienced women like cougars and you know, stuff like that. It's like there's always something, some reason why people are turned on by what they're turned on. And I don't want to imagine why someone would be turned on by me getting fucked and eating a piece of watermelon.
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't... I don't want to understand it, and I don't want to partake in that.
And I think it's dangerous to eat while you're having sex.
I do too. Exactly. On a feed.
There is only one thing that should be in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a couple of companies out there that have, you know, that are really... It's just the image that they promote, and... You know, I've seen some websites that to me is not porn. It's not sex. It's, you know, it's simulated rape. And
really?
And that's not, I think that porn gets a bad enough rep. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there's enough people out there that are like these right-wing conservatives that would love to shut down every porn company. And when you shoot that type of product, I think that
It feeds their fire,
and it gives them something to complain about and to say, you know, look at this girl, she's crying, she's puking, and you know, while she, you know, from sucking this guy's cock, like it's just there's, you know, well, you don't want to censor, but at the same time, you have to consider the damage that certain types of material is going to create.
Yeah, you know, and if it doesn't feel right for you, you don't do it, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And who am I to say, who am I to say, but it doesn't work for me, so.
And how old were you when you first had sex?
I was like, okay, there's no more, you know, it's like tag football takes on a whole nother level, and it's like, you know, you're too old to go fishing, and, you know, you're not climbing trees anymore, and it's like, there's nothing else to do, and, you know, we just kind of, instead of, like, you know, running from the sexual feelings that we were having, we totally embraced it, and we're just like, I want to try it. You know, it's got to be, you know, I want to see if it's all it's cracked up to be.
You're only 12.
It was awful. He totally didn't know what he was doing. And
how old was he?
He was 16.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, he was 16. And
16 with a 12-year-old. I mean, even that sounds wrong.
Yeah.
You know? But it was, you know, it was like... he totally didn't know what he was doing. I distinctly remember laying there and staring at my grandmother's ceiling. And thinking, God, she really needs to paint the ceiling. There was like cracks. I was like counting the cracks in the ceiling.
No.
And he totally didn't know what he was doing. And years later, after I got into the business.
Did you try him again?
I tried him again. And I was home on vacation, and I ran into him, and I tried him again, and he was still awful.
Really?
Oh, no.
It was like, he totally didn't know. Because I was thinking, maybe I was just inexperienced, you know, maybe I didn't know what I, you know, maybe it was
my fault.
And it was so not me. Like, he just did not know what he was doing.
Did you give him any pointers?
No, I just, like, got out of there as soon as I possibly could.
Oh.
I just, like, kind of was like, you know what? I gotta go. And, like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, it was, but it's, you know, but I've been really
sometimes I feel like it's my obligation or my duty to be like, listen, you know, we got to sit down, we got to have like, you know,
some lessons,
we got to have like a little
a primer.
Know. Yes, yes. I'm gonna get the notebook.
Right. I've just never been one into teaching. Like I've always been attracted to guys that were, you know, a few years older than me, and I just kind of always expected them to know what they were doing.
Yeah.
And I think because I was really promiscuous, I just expected my partners to be a little more, you know, a little more experienced and be able to teach me something.
Right,
so
right.
I'm just not interested in teaching somebody how to...
See, I don't mind teaching some people. It's kind of fun and endearing sometimes. If they're a good student, then all of a sudden you're just like, yes, true. good boy. Okay, that's... Yeah.
I tried a few years ago. I was dating one of my coworkers for, I don't know, it lasted all of like...
Three months.
Yeah, like a half a heartbeat. And he was like 25, and I was just like, I tried really hard to like date him, but, and he was a great lay, but it was like, he just couldn't, I don't know, like I found myself teaching him how to be a man, like how to be a man that's going, you know, how to be a player, basically. Like, if you're going to go out and you're going to have multiple partners, these are rules. These are the rules. These are the guidelines. These mm-hmm. are the things that you do. These are things you don't do. You know, it's like I found myself, like, teaching him those types
of
things.
You were like his mentor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it wasn't worth it to me, because he, like, I think one of the most important lessons I taught him was that dick is only as good as the pussy that it's in.
Ah.
And therefore, you're only as good as you are because you're fucking me.
I like that.
Because yes. And for him, in our situation, it was true, because he was 25. He was accustomed to fucking like 19, 20-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. And I'm in my 30s, so I prefer to be dominant. But at home with my man, I prefer to be submissive.
Yeah, like, that's like how it seems to be, right? Yeah. Susie, you said the same thing, right?
Like my man could not be submissive to me, like, at all. Because I just don't...
Even in sex, though?
No.
I like my men to be a little submissive, like, in the relationship, but when it comes to bed, I want them to own me.
Yeah. I have to be, like, if I'm going to be with someone, if that's my partner, they have to be dominant. Like, they have to, because
aspects of life?
Yeah, like, because I'm very dominant in all aspects of life, so I need them to be able to control me, like, to be able to put me in check. Because if they can't put me in check, then I'm just going to run all over them.
Yeah.
So they have to be stronger than I am.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. We are out of time, though.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I want you to plug, do you have a website?
Yes, I do. My website is clubcinnamonlove.com.
And Club Cinnamon Love.
That's Cinnamon with an S. Right? Yeah.
Awesome. And what are some of your famous movies that people might want to get?
The ones
you like.
One of my most recent movies that I absolutely love is called Cheek Freaks 6. It's by Jazz Durov on Buttman Magazine Choice, which is Evil Angel. And the movie I was referring to earlier, Bangin' Black Boxes, which was the movie I was talking about with Manuel Ferreira, which is also Evil Angel. And also...
Can we get these online?
You can get them online. Okay. Actually, fans can go to my store, which is cinnamonlovemovies.com, and they can check out any of those movies. Also, Chemistry 4, which was just hands down my favorite movie that I've ever done, ever, ever, ever. It's for Vivid Entertainment. And... Tristan Taramino, she is an amazing director. She's a writer for The Village Voice. And Chemistry is basically the real world, but porn. Like, they take six porn stars. It's six porn stars set in a house in a remote location, and for 36 hours. And there's no script, no rules, no schedule, and they just let us do whatever we want to do.
So like reality TV,
it's
but
like reality porn.
Wow. And what's that one called?
It's called Chemistry 4, and it's amazing. It's my favorite movie.
Well,
it ever.
Sounds interesting. I mean,
I would like to be in that house.
I'm sure you would.
Absolutely.
Well, Cinnamon Love, you've been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And you're intelligent as well as beautiful.
Thank you.
So that's nice, right?
Yes,
you don't see that very much.
She's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. And and I can cook, so it's like a triple threat.
There you go.
Awesome.
The perfect wife.
Yeah.
All right. All the best to you, Cinnamon.
Thank you so much
for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll probably have to invite you again because we haven't really scratched the surface. I mean, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot more. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we need to explore the anal part of things all that stuff. We haven't even touched that.
Of course.
So you're definitely invited to come back.
Thank you.
Okay. Susie?
I'll see you tomorrow, honey.
Another day?
Another day.
Another buck?
I think I'm going to go to Palm Springs right now.
Are you?
Yeah. I don't want to do my taxes anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to go.
What's in Palm Springs?
I'll tell you after the show.
Okay. On that note, we'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.